The COP27 Climate Summit in Egypt wraps up today, but how much progress has been made? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Talks in Sharm el-Sheikh are gridlocked with disagreements over a number of issues. The most important one at this year's summit is how to compensate affected countries for the damage caused by climate change. It's a question that's pitted developed and developing nations against each other. Proposals from both the European Union and the United Nations haven't gained the backing they need. And in a sign of how high tensions are running, EU Commission Vice President Frans Timmermans said the bloc's proposal to create a fund to help the most vulnerable countries is the final offer.
The European Union has made huge steps forward. And in any negotiation, if you make steps forward and the other side doesn't budge, at some point it ends. This is an offer we put on the table, which I think is very far-reaching, and I hope it is appreciated.
Well, final offer or not, if no deal is struck, the talks are expected to continue over the weekend, but only about 2,000 of the 35,000 delegates at COP are part of these formal negotiations. So the BBC's Justin Rollat went to find out what some of the others have been up to.
I want you to turn behind you and introduce yourself to a person that you haven't met yet. Say your name.
These COP summits are basically giant trade fairs for fighting climate change.
I'm Farida from UITP, the International Association of Public Transport.
I'm from Ecuador, from the Superintendence of Cooperatives.
Wherever you turn, people are exchanging business cards and making connections.
We have a big philanthropic fund that we announced last year, $100 million Climate Justice Ecosystem Restoration Fund. Today we're here to listen to people and like be like, what should we do with that?
John O'Niles works for a huge U.S. software company called Salesforce. It's his job to spend that $100 million. He is a serious fanboy for these conferences.
There is no other human initiative that has all the countries on Earth agree word by word, year by year, page by page, and spits out consensus. The best people on Earth are right here, and once they get to know each other and share their ideas, it can get only better, faster, quicker.
Business is being done here too. Serious business.
So have you just signed your deal?
Yes. So yeah, we just finished our signing ceremony.
Colombian businessman Daniel Calderon and his partner Adriana Guerrero have just signed a deal, a big one.
So this is the document that we signed
today.
This is the original
document.
Yeah, exactly. This is the document that we did today.
This is a third of $1 billion here.
That's right. That's right.
Mr. Calderon has just raised $337 million to build renewable energy plants, wind and solar, in North Africa and the Middle East.
Tom, you're obviously delighted with how it's going. Adriana is smiling and laughing as you're talking. So how does coming here to COP help?
Those governments are here. Other investors like us are here. People are really coming together here to advance the discussion. Somebody said to us a great sentence. It's about actions, right? Not targets, but actions.
That's Daniel Calderon ending that report from the BBC's Justin Rollat in Sharm el-Sheikh. Checking the numbers now, stocks across Asia were little changed in today's session. At this hour, European benchmarks are rising in the 0.7% to 1% range. All eyes are on central bank officials this week. Speaking in Frankfurt this morning, ECB President Christine Lagarde said interest rates may need to restrict economic activity in order to choke off record high prices. Those remarks echo ones from the St. Louis Fed president, who said interest rates might need to rise in the U.S. to 5.25% to be sufficiently restrictive to fight inflation. To Lebanon now, where community leaders say nearly 100 young men have joined the so-called Islamic State terror group in the last year, not because they were persuaded by extreme ideology, but because it was the only way of escaping a long-running economic crisis in the country. The BBC's Anna Foster has more from Beirut.
More than 80% of Lebanon's population is living in poverty after the country's economy began to break down in 2019. Community leaders say the terror group has used deprived areas as a recruiting ground to fuel its insurgency in Iraq. Without money, young Lebanese rely on being smuggled out of the country if they want to leave. The Iraqi army says its airstrikes have killed several militants who travelled from Lebanon over the last year. It's warned young Lebanese men not to be used by the terror group.
That's Anna Foster reporting from the Lebanese capital there. To Ukraine now, where officials say Russian forces continued to shell targets across the country overnight, and millions of people are now without power. The EU has warned the destruction is reaching a crisis point. From the capital, Kiev, the BBC's Catherine Birahanga explains how people are coping in frigid temperatures.
Well, it's another cold, snowy morning here in Kyiv. The real concern right now is about how Ukrainians manage during what was expected to be a very cold winter.
And what is the answer to that question? Is there a plan in place to try to get it back online?
For weeks now, the government has been sending the message out to Ukrainians that they should get ready for the possibility there might be extensive power outages. So people are out at the moment buying power banks to charge their phones. They're buying extra blankets, coats. There are also worries about access to water because obviously you need electricity to pump water into people's homes. In some cases, there have been power outages already and people have had to go out onto the street to use boreholes to try and fetch water. You have crews that are working flat out at the moment to repair the facilities that have been damaged. Then there's the real question of how to stop these missiles landing and hitting energy facilities. So the Ukraine's international partners have been sending in air defense systems. We've had some from the United States, the UK. Russia does admit to targeting energy facilities, but it says it's only trying to cut supplies to the military administration.
The BBC's Catherine Birahanga, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, one last bit of news for you this morning. There are reports that Qatari officials have reversed a decision to sell alcohol at World Cup games, which starts Sunday. If confirmed, that decision could complicate FIFA's million-dollar sponsorship with Budweiser. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.